This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Monday, December 23rd. When the House voted to impeach Donald Trump last week, one of the spectators in the gallery, in the first row, in fact, if I can believe a photo I saw on Twitter, was filmmaker Michael Moore. He then tweeted, it was a, quote, stunning, exhilarating day of watching Democrats find the courage to confront a menace and watching the Republican bots all squirming and grunting and sounding like the dying dinosaurs that they are. Victory, exclaimed Michael Moore. But while the director of hit documentaries like Fahrenheit 9/11 and Fahrenheit 11/9 is definitely on a political side, he is also a voice born of Flint, Michigan's white working class who gets a lot about both sides that many other progressives may not. He was one of the few, you may remember, who predicted that Trump could win in 2016 based on what he was seeing on the ground. And he's interested in exploring common ground for 2020 and the impeachment era, even as he celebrates last week's vote. And Michael Moore has a new podcast called Rumble with Michael Moore that's already topping the podcast charts. Michael, Merry Christmas or whatever you celebrate, and thank you for coming on.
I celebrate it all. Anything that involves presents.
You're in.
I'm in.
Can you tell us in more detail than Twitter would allow what it was like watching the impeachment proceedings last week?
Well, it's funny. I woke up in the morning. I was here in New York, and I thought, boy, they're impeaching the president. How often does this happen? And it's just a train ride away. I mean, this is the beauty of the East Coast. If you're in Michigan, you just can't hop a train and get someplace quickly. And so I just went down to the Amtrak. My sister was visiting, and Basil, my producer and friend, and the three of us got on, not knowing if we'd get in, and we got there, and there was a long line, and I thought, oh man, we're not going to get in, and I thought, well, wait a minute, there's got to be a member of Congress that represents Flint, so we found his office, and we went there. And he got us in. So I was able, and the front row was empty. And I just said, let's just go sit down there and we'll just, you know, we'll keep an eye on the Democrats. You know, if they look up, you know, we'll just kind of give them the, we're here for a reason.
Did you do that? Did you make eye contact or anything?
Actually, yes. Well, certain members spotted me. It was very funny. I mean, because the AOC or Maxine Waters or whatever were like waving, oh, wow, you're here. And then the Republicans, you could see them, and one or two, they point at me and then tell the, I'm sorry.
And that's an interesting perspective, that it's not only the crowd that's watching the members are watching the crowd. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, and what was really interesting, first of all, it's not what it looks like on C-SPAN. You get the full 360, not just who's at the podium. And
this was the day of the full House debate, not the committee.
No. Full House debate and the vote that took place around 8 o'clock that night. And it was exhilarating to see Democrats do what they know. It's fairly a 50-50 split in the country, whether or not to impeach and remove, a little more for, you know, not as many people maybe want to remove, but still the majority or a near majority, a plurality, want that. And for them to do what the people have requested them to do is kind of a rare moment.
The final word of your tweet, as I read it from that night, was victory. Is it victory if the Senate acquits Trump, or is it even worse than if they had never done it?
Okay, I know a lot of people are thinking, well, why bother? The Senate's never going to convict him. Well, you bother because you have to go on the record. You have to take a stand. You have to say this is wrong. What Trump did and all the other things he's done is wrong, and you have to say so. And I know the cynics are like, well, what kind of victory is this? Well, we just impeached Donald J. Trump. Maybe this is part of like, because I only have a high school education. So that was a big victory for me to graduate from high school. And it's like, you only have a bachelor's. You only have a bachelor's. You don't have a graduate degree. No, what's wrong with having a bachelor's? That's a victory. We're always like, we're never satisfied with where we're at. Where we're at today on December 23rd. Is we have impeached the President of the United States, and now we have a brilliant strategist named Nancy Pelosi, someone who I, you know, not necessarily share the same politics with.
And I saw you from months ago bashing her on Twitter when she was criticizing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the squad and dismissing them as, oh, they only have five votes.
Yes. And having said all of that, I want to start a GoFundMe to build a statue to Nancy Pelosi, because what I have witnessed in the last few months and what she is doing now. And while I was sitting up there in the gallery, actually, I can't say who, but somebody came up and told me that there's going to be a big switcheroo after the debate. There's going to be.
What does that mean?
Meaning Nancy had something up her sleeve. She was not going to send this forward to a chamber that was had already declared themselves a kangaroo court. And she was going to use this moment to force them to do their jobs as senators. I think it's really brilliant. And
she's doing it to try to get McConnell to allow fact witnesses in the Senate trial, or at least get some of the swing state senators to vote for that. It's not really up to McConnell by himself. It's up to a majority of 51 senators. And so if she can leverage a few swing state senators, Cory Gardner from Colorado, Susan Collins from Maine, whoever, maybe they can get to 51. But you know that even some progressives worry that Pelosi looks like she's playing politics with the solemn matter of impeaching by not referring the articles to the Senate while she asked for witnesses, and that could backfire.
Yeah, I know. Liberals are always, I don't know if we should do this because they may not like us, and it may bring up more people to vote against us. Maybe we should just be happy with impeachment and just let it go.
You're making a joke, but it's a serious point. The politics of fear.
I am more than
the politics of fear, right?
The politics of fear that permeates my side of the political fence. The sort of, I got to tell you, this is the same thing. We could not get yard signs for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election in Michigan. They would not send us something as simple as yard signs. And I finally...
For Clinton in 2016?
For Clinton in 2016. You know, again, a state that she visited once or twice, Wisconsin, she didn't even go to. After the election, I asked one of the upper echelon of the Hillary campaign, why? Why did you ignore us like this? And he said, well, the wrong thinking, we were wrong, was that if we put up all those yard signs, if we had her there touring the state, it would only inspire the haters to come out and remind them that they had to get out and vote. So we thought low profile in Michigan and Wisconsin. Oh, wow.
A Rose Garden strategy instead of a front lawn strategy.
Yeah, except she wasn't in a Rose Garden. She was Hillary Clinton.
And for people who don't know, Rose Garden strategy means you're already the incumbent,
you're the president.
You don't have to do anything to get reelected unless you blow it. So don't risk blowing it. Don't do anything.
Right. So what I say to people who are of a liberal persuasion listening to this, please have the courage of your convictions. Please don't be afraid of this. We are in the right. There's more of us than there are of them. The vast majority of the country shares our politics. Go down the whole list. Raising the minimum wage. Women should be paid the same as men. Climate change is real. Mass incarceration. Go down the whole list. The majority of our fellow Americans agree with us. Let's seize this moment and get out there and do our job. And yes, let's put these senators... Let's make them take a stand on this. Let history record. And can I just say, I have a weird fantasy about the Senate, about how this could go down.
People have said you have weird fantasies. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying that these senators, there's 53 that support Trump, 53 Republicans. He can keep the majority of them. He can keep 33 of them. We just need 20 to remove him from office. If they succeed in fact witnesses, if Bolton testifies in the Senate, he will be the Alexander Butterfield of the Senate trial. This is the man who revealed in the testimony in Watergate that, oh, by the way, there's a tape recording system in the White House. Bolton knows what else was put on that national security server in the White House. In addition to the call, they were hiding stuff for 3 years on that server, things that they thought, oh my God, this is illegal what he's doing. Put it on the server. That's where they put the Ukraine call. There's, Brian, it does not take a rocket scientist or political scientist to know that there's other things that they put on that server. He will reveal that, and then the server will have to be subpoenaed, and we will find out It'll make Ukraine look like, you know, some spilled milk. It will not be. This is what they don't want to happen. And I believe that of the 20 senators, Republicans that we need, I believe there's 10 of them, like the Susan Collinses, like the senator from Arizona, Colorado, who are going to be scared for their job. And I believe 10 of the 53, out of self-interest, could possibly say, you know what, I am not a rat that's going down with the ship. And there's then another 10 that I would call the more the religious moral wing, that as you saw with the Christianity Today, there's so many these Christians
right.
who have been quiet.
Editorial in Christianity
so
Today
this group, yes.
for impeachment the other
Correct.
Day.
Correct. So you have the other 10 led by Mitt Romney, who is morally offended. I believe there's 9 more morally offended Republican senators who could come along if there were more of these, as you said, facts
that
revealed.
Is the clearest description of the path to victory that I have heard, more so than from any, you know, member of Congress or paid political analyst in journalism who has a bachelor's degree.
I went to a good public high school. I'm just
Natalie, you're on with Michael Moore. Hi, Natalie.
Hello. I love you both. You're both amazing humans.
Thank you.
My question is about Christianity Today. I just wanted to know what you think about the idea that, that they want to impeach Trump, not because of the good, it's good for the country, but because then Mike Pence would be president and Mike Pence would be, would help their agenda in this country.
No, I don't. He's the editor who wrote the editorial made it clear that's not. In fact, he said this is not a political editorial. It's a moral editorial. They're not making a political decision. They're just saying the immorality of this president is so profound, so beyond belief, that as Christians, we have no choice but to remove him as fast as possible. And by the way, for people who are worried that in case Trump does go, that Pence is going to be the vice president, don't be, again, liberals, stop being afraid. It's okay. Actually, Pence is a believer. He believes in something. Trump only believes in Trump. But Pence believes that the earth is only 6,000 years old. Pence believes if you're gay, he can convert you. So I think we can have the great debate with him.
Is this less dangerous or potentially more dangerous than Donald Trump?
It's less dangerous because it doesn't matter. He can believe whatever he wants because it doesn't matter because the majority of Americans don't believe the earth is 6,000 years old, don't believe you should be converting gay people to heterosexuality. And let him say that in the great debate. And let's see, when the American people hear what Pence really believes, who's going to win? Trust that the majority are with us. We have to believe that because it's the truth.
I want to get your reaction to something from last week's Democratic debate. It was the one kind of outlier answer to the first question of the night in which the candidates were asked how they could move the needle past the 50-50-ish split the country is in on impeachment. They all focused on why they consider Trump guilty of important things, except for Andrew Yang, who name-checked Michigan and answered in the context of Trump's re-election campaign and his original election. Listen.
If you turn on cable network news today, you would think he's our president because of some combination of Russia, racism, Facebook, Hillary Clinton, and emails all mixed together. But Americans around the country know different. We blasted away 4 million manufacturing jobs that were primarily based in Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Missouri. I just left Iowa. We blasted 40,000 manufacturing jobs there. The more we act like Donald Trump is the cause of all of our problems, the more Americans lose trust that we can actually see what's going on in our communities and solve those problems. What we have to do is we have to stop being obsessed over impeachment, which unfortunately strikes many Americans like a ball game where you know what the score is going to be, and start actually digging in and solving the problems that got Donald Trump elected in the first place.
So Michael Moore, does Andrew Yang have a point about obsession with impeachment?
Well, not so much obsession with impeachment, but the reason why Trump won and the reason why he still, if the election were held today, even though I believe the Hillary won the popular vote by 3 million votes. I believe if the election were today, whoever the Democrat is would win by 4 to 5 million popular votes, and we would still lose because of the electoral states. And everybody, if you watch his rallies, I know you don't want to watch them, but this guy, and you know, me living in Michigan, I can tell you that he has not lost 1 ounce of his base. And in fact, they're more rabid than ever.
Why not? Because, and we're going to run out of time in a couple of minutes, but he ran, in the Michigan context, on bringing back the auto industry jobs that went to Mexico under NAFTA and elsewhere for other reasons. Mm-hmm. If we assume he has not delivered on that promise, or you tell me if you think he has, then he should be crashing among white working class people who voted for him in Michigan.
Right. Well, unlike what Andrew Yang said, it does have something to do with race amongst the white voters. And certain evangelicals that they want that Supreme Court packed with anti-abortion judges. So yes, that I think there are a number of elements. But here's the deal. Hillary lost Michigan by only about 2 votes per precinct. That's it. So these are people. Remember, there's 8 million Trump voters who voted for Obama. So a lot of them can come back. They just didn't like Hillary. But there's a way that we can win this. But we have to start focusing on the 3 groups that are going to win this for us. Do not spend time trying to convince a Trump voter now. If they're still for Trump after 3 years, just love them. You know, they're our fellow Americans, but they're gone. 70% of the people eligible to vote next year are either women, people of color, or young adults between 18 and 35. From those 3 groups, we will win. But if we don't get the vote out, if we don't have a candidate that's going to excite them, the way you felt when you woke up on election day of 2008 and you couldn't wait to get to the polls to vote for Obama, if we don't have that candidate, and if that candidate isn't running on policies that are going to benefit women, people of color, and young people, we will lose again. We will lose through the Electoral College.
And to be clear, for you, it's Bernie.
Oh, yes, absolutely, it's Bernie. There's no doubt in my mind. Last week, the poll last week, again, you can't put everything in the polls, but there's been enough polls now to where he's number one now with non-white voters. He comes in number one with Black, Hispanic, Asian voters. Bernie's number one. He's obviously way number one with young people. And amongst Bernie supporters, he has more women that support him than men. The polls don't lie. You won't hear this on the news. Last night on ABC News, I was watching, they did a story on the race to the top of the Democratic Party. Who's up there? They did a 4 to 5 minute piece. They never mentioned his name. They didn't even show him. He didn't exist. They showed 8 other candidates, including Bloomberg and Booker, and no Bernie.
But the argument that Buttigieg or Klobuchar, being from the Midwest and seeming like, you know, white Midwesterners, more relatable?
No, I don't care about 2/3 of white men voted for Trump. Our goal to win is, here's how Hillary lost. He lost because African Americans were offended by a number of things in Michigan and stayed home. Or if they showed up to vote, they left the top box blank. Young people stayed home. Women did not stay home. But yet Trump won with white women. This is where our focus should be. Women, people of color, young adults, let's give them a reason to vote. Let's give them a candidate. And let's get everybody out to the polls.
Tell people how to find your new podcast, Rumble with Michael Moore.
Rumble, you can hear. I'm on all the podcast platforms. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify. It's on Google. You just type in Rumble with Michael Moore. You'll find it. I'm going to do a few. We're gonna go Christmas caroling tomorrow over to some of my favorite places here in Manhattan: Trump Tower, Fox News, the NFL.
The NFL.
So that'll be our Christmas Eve show. But we've got some great things planned, and some I already have in the can. And I thank everybody who's been listening. It went to number one on the charts this weekend.
I saw that in the news category.
In the news category, over the Daily and over NPR, which I want to just say is wrong. People need to listen to NPR more than they need to listen to me. So just go on the record and say that.
But thank you for coming in, Michael. happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Brian. And thank you for what you and this wonderful station and network does.
Earlier in this series, we took phone calls from listeners who proposed articles of impeachment. Now we're inviting calls from listeners who do not think Trump should be removed from office. We'll give you the phone number in a minute. Here's one that came in after the House voted to impeach.
My name is David Nywood from New Jersey. I do not believe that Trump should be removed from office simply because the Democrats have not done a sufficiently good job to take the Republicans' concerns and negate them. And that leaves this as unipartisan. Trump has done more than enough, and the Democrats need to make their case better so that this is a bipartisan issue.
If you are anyone who does not want to see Trump removed from office after being impeached by the House, we're collecting those arguments now. Call in and tell us why. Leave your voicemail at 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255 or 844-745-TALK. And maybe we'll use yours on the podcast. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, which we also invite you to listen to. It's The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, streaming live then at WNYC.org. See you tomorrow.